You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, folks, that familiar music, if you watched Rendezvous with a Writer, you might know is Hot Texas, courtesy of the Hot Texas Swing Band. And I am obviously not Bobby Jean or Jim Bell. I'm Tom Swearingen, and I'm sitting in for them. They're down in Santa Clarita, California, setting up their Buckaroo Bookshop at the Old Newhall Library, in anticipation of the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival, where they'll be interviewing authors Friday and Saturday, and they're up to their eyeballs in that and ask me to sit in, which I'm happy to do. And I'm really happy to introduce my guest. When they asked me to guest host, they said, you can pick anybody you want to invite. And the first call I made was to Dr. Miska Padgett. Hello, Miska.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Let me tell people who you are, and for folks, they can see, I don't know, if you got some sunlight coming in from the back of her. She's in Arizona. I'm in Oregon. It's cold here right now, but the sun's going down. It's still kind of bright, and but it's good to see you. And Miska, I am a cowboy poet. Miska is a cowboy poet and an author, and we're going to talk about her poetry tonight. But I introduced her as Dr. Miska Padgett. Let me give you a little bio on my friend Miska. She is a magna cum laude graduate of Colorado State University College of Veterinary Medicine. Her passion for horses has led her to practice as a large animal vet for more than 20 years now, most of those in private practice. In 2019, Dr. Padgett, but I will call you Miska.
Yes, please.
And her husband, Keith, relocated their ranch of 11 horses, a pet pig, a pet goat, a rescued alpaca, 5 dogs, and a barn cat to Williamson Valley in the Prescott, Arizona area, where she now owns her own practice and practices there. In addition to her busy practice, she has become a popular Western poet, taking the stage at cowboy poetry and music gatherings and festivals throughout the West. That's where I first met her, when I saw her on stage at a gathering just a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Her debut poetry album, The Best Horses in Heaven, They Have No Tail, released in 2021, and was a top 5 nominee for the International Western Music Association Cowboy Poetry Album of the Year. No small accomplishment. It was a nominee again in 2022, and doggone if it didn't win, and was named IWMA Cowboy Poetry CD of the Year in 2022. And in that same year, Miska also had the honor of being a finalist for IWMA Female Cowboy Poet of the Year. So, welcome.
Thank Ms. you. What a ride. What a ride it has been.
Yeah, that's right. So Miska is, as we just said, an accomplished poet. She's got some other things in the works. We've got a children's book in the works that we're going to talk about. And we're certainly going to want to hear some poetry. I've got about 3 pages of notes of questions to ask you, and we don't have time to cover all of those. Time will fly, I'm quite sure. But one of the things that I'm curious, before we maybe have you share some poems, is I'm just curious, what drew you to be a writer? When did you realize you were a writer or wanted to be a writer?
I have always been a storyteller. And if you ask my mom, she would tell you that even when I was a little itty bitty, I would come up to her with these amazing stories that were totally fabricated. And she would have to stop me in the middle of a story and say, "Now, Missy, is this made up or is this the truth?" Because she was so worried that I didn't know the difference. And so I've always loved to write stories, but I think, or create stories. I think when I really, really started writing poetry when I was probably about 11 or 12, like junior high age. And I would write poems and hide them in my room. And we had a housekeeper at the time that saved them. I didn't realize it, but she saved them. And when I got married years later, she gave me all these love poems and stuff that I had written all through high school and everything. So I've always really loved writing, but I always have kept it kind of secret. I've kept it kind of private, and I have this huge binder, it's in here somewhere, of poetry that I've written over the years. And I would share it with friends and family at barbecues and get-togethers. I'd share a new one that I had written. But it wasn't until we moved here to Prescott and I went to the first Arizona Cowboy Poets Gathering. That was in 2019. And I realized that there were other people out there that were actually sharing what they write on a grander scale than what I was doing. And I just felt like, gosh, these are my people. And I just felt like everybody there was my family, even though I didn't know them yet. And it inspired me. And so I, by serendipity, it's kind of a long story, so I won't waste the entire show, but by serendipity, I got actually accidentally auditioned for unintentionally, did not mean to, but was coaxed into sharing a poem with some of the folks on the board for Arizona Cowboy Poets. And I was invited to go to the next year's gathering. So it was a big eye opener for me that maybe there were other people other than my family that wanted to hear what I write.
Yeah, interesting. So you were sharing cowboy poetry. And for those who might not be familiar with cowboy poetry, it's often, not exclusively, but often known for cadence, rhyme, rhythm, meter, and of course, content that relates to cowboy lifestyle, Western lifestyle. Mm-hmm. The poetry that you'd written up to that point, the big binder of poetry that you'd written and have, was that in that style or a more variety of poetry?
Most of it is because that's the life I live. I live the Western way of life. And, you know, I'm a large animal vet. I'm out in my truck all day. I'm working with ranchers and horse people and, you know, goat breeders, and I even had a camel dairy at one point in my career. And so, I mean, because that's what I live. That's the life I live. And I've always been a horse person.
So that's the content, but in terms of the structure of the poetry, were you familiar with traditional form cowboy poetry of rhyme?
Yeah. I mean, I love to read. And so of course I was really familiar with the classic, you know, cowboy poetry, and have certainly become more familiar and have developed new favorite poets, especially after moving here to Prescott and learning more about Charlotte Hall. And, you know, I would probably consider her one of the original, at least ranch women poets. And so certainly what I love and what I know has grown, you know, over time and as I have a chance to read more. But my style of writing I didn't model what I write around any form or tradition. I write what I write. And I was blessed that what I write fits this genre really well because that's who I am. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
It just fits. That's why when I went to the Arizona Gathering and I watched Valerie Beard perform and Floyd and Terry Nash and Mark, I was like, well, these are my people. You know, they write what I write. We have the same heart. So it was a really easy fit.
Okay, good. So when you write, take us through the process. How do poems develop? What are the stages? How do you get one started? And how do you see one through?
My poems, some poems for me actually gestate for a really long time. I will have one in my heart and it was not ready to be born yet. And I will have an idea or I'll have an experience that I know needs to be shared. And I have an idea about what I want to say because something will happen in my life and I'll know that it's special and that someday it's going to be a poem. And then for me, the way that my mind works, it will be born. And so my brain will just develop this, this creative, just a blast of creativity in a very short period of time. And sometimes it's in the middle of the night. Sometimes it's when I'm driving my truck and I literally have been late to appointments on the way to a vet call. And I say, oh, nope, I've got to pull over. I know I have all this rhyme will come to my mind and I will just sit and write and I can get a poem out in, 20, 30 minutes. And it will rhyme and it will be there. But then I will visit that poem after that, multiple times and work on my meter and maybe develop the poem more and work on my imagery. And maybe I want to develop something a little bit more about how something looked or felt to me. And so it will be birthed as a skeleton. And then I decorate it with all of the flesh and the hair and the, everything else that it needs to be a complete entity. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you when you have an idea, do you sort of end up with the start of an idea or you have the end of the idea and got to add the front it's all done? Right?
Yes, it's all different. It depends. And sometimes it's a concept. And, like I'll say, I want to write a poem for my husband's birthday, or for Christmas. And that's not usually my best poems. If I start with a concept and, I'm going to write a poster poem, it's not going to be one of my gems. I know that because I don't start with an assignment. My best poems start with my heart. They start with an inspiration that didn't come from here. It came from here. And then it just conjures itself up out of me. The best poetry I write is from here. And I think if you look at my poems, you probably can tell the ones that are here versus the ones that are here. I mean, I think you can tell. At least I can. I mean, I know which one's a heart poem and which one was more of an assignment or one that I wanted to write about, but it wasn't visceral. Mm-hmm. It didn't start from my soul. I think songwriters would say that too, sometimes they want to write something about something, but it's not part of their guts,
Right. Mm-hmm. Do you show your work in progress to Keith or anybody else, or do you keep them secret until they're done?
Keith and my mom are the only two people that I really share my progress work with. My mom, just because, she's the worst critic because she just loves everything I do. And so, but sometimes it's nice to just be able to have her as a sounding board, to be able to read something to somebody and say, oh no, I don't like that, or I need this, that rhyme isn't right. That isn't right. I need to work on the meter. Keith is hard for me to share my poetry with because I love him and he has great ideas, but he has no clue about meter or rhyme. And so he'll just go on, he'll try to make suggestions and it doesn't work very well.
Yeah.
But sometimes, But sometimes he has really good ideas though. Sometimes I will get stuck and I'll say, you know what, this is what I'm writing. And gosh darn it, what do you think about this? And he'll come up with this amazing idea. And then I'll be like, great idea. Okay, shh. And sometimes he'll come in, I'll be writing. We have a small house. And so usually I write in the living room on the couch. And he'll come in from outside and he'll start talking. And I'll be like, don't talk to me right now. I'm in the middle. I'm birthing something. Yeah. And he'll just go back outside.
Well, I tell you what, I have an idea. And what I'd like to do before we're going to take a commercial break in just a minute, but not quite yet. I think people have been waiting long enough to hear one of your poems.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if you might do the title poem.
Sure.
The best horses in heaven, they have no tail. And then that'll just take a minute or so, I think. And then we'll come right back and then I'll ask Sam to play the commercial. All right.
Okay, so we're doing the poem, The Best Horses, first. Before.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. This is the title poem from your award-winning.
Yes, and this poem was one of those that was born on the side of the road. I actually wrote it after I put down the horse of one of my really good friends. The best horses in heaven, they have no tail. This is a rule they all know without fail. For when a new horse arrives with a shortcut bob, everyone knows that this horse did a very good job. His owner couldn't bear to part with her friend, so she saved his tail, wrapped in ribbons and braids, to hold with his memory in a very loving way. To enter heaven without a tail, it's an honor, a message that without fail announces to everyone far and wide that this horse was more than a wonderful ride. No, this horse was loved and cherished by one, and when his time serving here on earth was done, he left behind a broken heart and a soul from which he never will part.
Yeah, it's beautiful. That is really, really beautiful. And that came from the heart, didn't it?
Yeah, that was a heart one. That did not come from here.
Well, let's find out where folks can purchase books by guests, the weekly guests here on Rendezvous with the Writer. Sam, could you play the Out West Bookshop spot, please? And we'll come right back.
Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's Bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Very good. And the folks who are listening normally to this show would recognize that voice. That was the voice of Bobby Jean Bell, who, along with her husband Jim, are normally the hosts of Rendezvous with a Writer. And I'm sitting in for them. I'm Tom Swearingen, happy to guest host with my guest, Miska Paget, a poet, cowboy poet, and a soon-to-be published children's book author. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. But talking about your writing process, you touched a little bit. You just said you normally write in the setting that you were describing. You normally write sitting on a sofa and right.
But,
Writing longhand with a laptop? How do you do it?
I have to write in a notebook. I have a notebook and it has to be written longhand. It doesn't get into the computer until the framework of the poem has been built. I feel like for me, with my mind, working on a computer, it cuts the emotion for me. And I just feel like I can't get things down fast enough. And oftentimes when I'm writing a poem, you will see arrows, you'll see words, you'll see, you know, and it just is a storm. It's a storm of creativity that just has it. There's no way you could get it on a computer. It just.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how'd the Sail Barn poem come about? And then I'd like you to do tell us about the Sail Barn poem, how that one came together, and then share that.
Great. And I have some exciting news about the Sail Barn too. So the Sail Barn. There's a big ranch out here in Williamson Valley, one of the biggest cattle ranch in Arizona, and certainly in the whole Southwest. And I don't really want to name drop, but I was out there working with one of the horses out at that ranch. We were doing, actually, I helped with the broodmare band out there. They raised some really fancy quarter horses, and I was helping with the broodmare band. And I work with the wife of the ranch. And we were talking about this mare that was a good mare. And she was having a hard time keeping weight on and couldn't get her bread. And the owner said, you know, I just think it's time to take her to the sale because life out here is too hard on her. And I thought, you know, that's a new take on going to the sale, because, you know, you always think, oh, the horse is going to the sale and, you know, that's bad. And her whole reason for having her horse go to the sale was to help the horse have a better life because the ranch life was too hard and it was time for her to go do something different. And so it totally switched around my thinking about, you know, the horse sale. And that was what inspired, you know, loosely inspired me to write the Sail Barn. So okay. I can share that with you now, and then I'll tell you a little brief something about it afterwards.
Let's hear it.
The Sail Barn. Tell me your story, number 322. It looks there's no horse here more broke or broken than you. Long sunburned mane at your shoulders, and your back is well rode with white rounds at your withers and hind tendon thick and bowed. Brands on hip and front carry famous signatures, sparse tail docked short and blunt, rough red hair coat withstands harsh temperatures. Tell me your story, number 322. I can see that they really depended on you. Were you the favorite in the remuda, checking fence up steep hills and sharp rocks? Did you labor on the rangeland, tending mama cows and branding stock? Did you work the yearling pasture and keep the young colts in line? Ears pinned back, you could bite harder and gallop faster and have them mind in no time. Did you pony the green ones, new and unseasoned under saddle, the strawberry roans and the wily duns, working them tired and ready for your cowboy to straddle? And come fall with grass turned brown, did you circle to gather the strays, pushing wind, stinging snow, past the sun's gone down, proud to earn your cowboy's praise? Did you carry the young'uns and teach them to ride, chasing grandpa's cows for fun, loose rope loops smacking your sides? Tell me your story, number 322. I believe you are here because they truly love you. Last winter was tough out there with the others, and you deserve better than being just another. A warm stall, a soft bed, a sweet little girl. You will become everything good in her world. She will love away all of those years you have worked. A sweet angel's care will ease aches and hurt. It's time for a new story, number 322. You have earned it, my friend, and we wish the best for you.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Thank you.
And so you have an update for us on
so you know, like cowboy poetry. A lot of cowboy poems, and this is the tradition of cowboy poetry from when cowboy poems were shared, you know, as tall tales or a way to tell a story out around the campfire, you know, back in the good old days of cowboys. And it still happens today, just less. But oftentimes those poems are made into songs. And Dan McCorrison, the Western singer-songwriter, he and I, we got together, and Dan actually turned that Sail Barn poem into a Western music song.
Oh, fabulous.
And so he and June came up and spent the weekend with us a few weeks ago, and I can't wait for them to come back because we had so much fun. And we rode, you know, they rode horses, and we did a lot of eating and a lot of singing, and he shared, I had gotten the poem to him because he had really liked it when he saw me perform it last November. And he performed the song for me here when they came to visit. And so I think he's going to call it 322.
Rhyme, because he could rhyme that number.
Well, that 322, that's the horse's number in the poem. And so I think he's going to call it 322, but I'm not sure yet. And but it made me cry listening to him sing it, because that is such an honor. And so special. So
it's, well, he's super talented.
Oh my gosh,
you are too. So between the two of you, that's going to be I'm looking forward to hearing.
Thank you. And I have another poem that I started on my way back from IWMA last November, and it's not even done yet. It really needs a better ending. So it kind of, I wrote it, and then I got so busy, and it's just been sitting there kind of gestating. And, but I read that to him and said, I think this would maybe be a good song. And he stole it. He's like, yeah. So his ending will probably be different from my ending. The song may end differently than the poem, but that one, he's working on, I think, right now. And so the 322 will be on his next album. So
how fun. Well, I want to make sure that we get a chance to talk about what you're working on now. And
yes.
I also want to, hopefully we can work another poem or two in, but just so we don't run out of time.
Yeah.
Let people know what you're up to now. I know that you're working on something that's pretty exciting, and you gave me a sneak peek.
Well, it's kind of interesting because I got in the mail today, or it got sent via courier. Here's my The Rhythm of the Ranch. It's my children's book. And my proof arrived today. So there's a little bit of, just some composition things that I'm going to change a little bit about the structure of how things are laid out, layout issues. But I'm really excited about this book because it's one that I did all the illustrations, and it's based on a poem of mine called The Rhythm of the Ranch. And I had a really good time. It was a very steep learning curve. I had intended to take this poem and turn it into a children's book years ago, but I needed an illustrator because I knew I really wanted it to have special illustrations, and I never could find anyone. And so I finally just sat down at the computer and taught myself how to illustrate, how to do it. And I had fun. And do you want me to share a couple illustrations?
But I want to make a comment first. So, cause you just have so much spare time. You're working like 18 hours a day, pulling calves and helping call horses and whatever, and working on this and working on that. You just happen to have time to bust out a new skill of being an illustrator.
what I do at night when I, Keith goes to sleep really early, and this is what I do at night when I have insomnia.
Yeah, if you can, if you can put one up to the camera so we can see an example of, she got the proof. She emailed me or texted me or whatever. I saw the manuscript a couple weeks ago and saw some samples. Yeah, I know you got some pretty cute little goats. And
so, do you want me to show the goats?
Yeah, show people.
Okay, here's my
your sheep. I want you to read a little piece.
Okay. So here's my goat and my sheep.
Oh, yeah.
And then I did a chicken. I'll try to, I might be able to hold up pictures and give a tease read. Do you want a tease read? Like a start?
Yeah.
I mean, get into.
The first few pages. Yeah. I mean, if I recall, if you read the first, we've got time to do
a couple pages.
Yeah.
This is the first page. The rhythm of this ranch is like a ticking clock. You can tell time by it, and it never stops. It starts before dawn when the squeaky screen door opens, then slams shut. Oh, I forgot the last part. And the ranch awakens to the sound of hungry and anxious tummies. The blah of the goat and the baa of the sheep. We are ready to start our day. We are no longer asleep. The soft knicker of the big red gelding singing for his breakfast.
Yeah.
These are all based on my own animals, by the way. This is like a true life thing. And the loud clang, clang of the fuzzy pony who wants to be fed first.
Perfect. Yeah.
You want to do the chicken or are we done?
Oh, I want to see the chicken. Yeah. We saw that. I want to see the
chicken. You mentioned the chicken. So
yeah, I want to see the chicken.
I agonized over the chicken. The chicken was hard for me. The chicken's feet pitter pattering around against the dry, hard ground as she searches for cracked corn, the prize to be found. There. And this was Queen Victoria. That was the name of that chicken. That was Queen Victoria.
Very good.
Yeah, so I could go on.
People are going to have to buy the book to hear the rest of the story. Yeah,
exactly. Because you don't know how it's going to end.
So, no, that's sweet. That is a sweet, sweet children's book. So is the production schedule? When do you imagine that's going to be available?
Within a few weeks. I mean, it should be, I would think, because it's at the printer and I just did this was supposed to be my final approval of the whole thing, but there's a couple of things that I want to change with the layout. So probably 2 weeks, I imagine.
And then will that be available on your website?
Probably the easiest way, I think, right now, while I'm still trying to get everything online, just email me and I will send you, we'll figure it out.
Well, I know how to get a hold of you, but listening.
It is, my email is cowgirlvetpoet@outlook.com. And my website, which you can download my album off my website, but the book isn't ready yet. My website is cowgirlvetpoet.com. So
cowgirlvetpoet.
Cowgirlvetpoet. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. So your album, award-winning album, is there now.
Yes.
And one of these days or weeks soon, the book will be available as well.
It will be. Yeah. Within a few weeks, I would imagine. I'm just kind of going with the flow.
Well, very good. Why don't we do another poem?
Okay.
I'd love to hear At the Gate.
Oh, that one. Okay. That one about.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Unless you've got something else you'd rather do. Yeah. I think I'd love to hear At the Gate.
Let me see if I had a, oh, here he is. So this is, this is my white horse. If you get on my Facebook page, there's a lot of pictures of him. He's gone now, but he inspired a lot of great memories and a lot of great poems. So, so some people don't know that, in addition to being an author and now an illustrator and a poet and a veterinarian, I also was on a professional rodeo drill team called the Rainbow Riders. And they were that team. Oh my gosh, I think it was 27 years that team was riding. And they were called the Blue Angels on horseback. I was not with them all 27 years. Some people were. And so they did obviously a lot of rodeos and the parades and all, you know, any sort of event where they needed a halftime entertainment, we would do that involved horses. So anyway, so At the End Gate was inspired by my experiences as a rainbow rider. There's cowboys out back, loping circles and throwing loops. The rough stocks pinned up, saddle broncs being loaded in chutes. The sheep are boxed in a small, separate pen, bond and ready for mutton busting to begin. The buttery smell of popcorn floats through the air. Rodeo queen primps coils of honey curls in her hair. A calm, solid tension can be felt at the gate. We're 10 minutes out. Don't want to start late. The arena ground has been worked soft, moist, and deep, so no cowboys get hurt when they don't land on their feet. Chris Ledoux sings his heart out over stadium seats as the crowd shuffles in, carrying sodas and treats. I check on the time. We're 5 minutes out. Flag horses, ears perked, heads up in line. They know what this is about. It's time for our rodeo, that great American tradition. And no matter where you go in our beautiful nation, it always starts the same with the anthem and a prayer and words of honor for soldiers who are no longer there. Split second fast pops open the gate and my white horse, well, he hardly can wait to gallop in Old Glory. He carries so proud to celebrate America with our hometown crowd. At the end.
Yeah, nice. Well, I think listeners and viewers probably have a pretty good idea now why, just hearing the three poems from you, why this CD with 11 of your great poems was named Cowboy Poetry CD of the Year last year.
It's such an honor. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, very, very good.
Thank you. So
what's coming up for you? I've seen you on stage and had the pleasure of sharing some opportunities with you here and there. What's coming up for you, or people who might be in a particular geographic region might?
So I'll be locally in May. I will be entertaining at a Western dressage event, the Western Extravaganza at American Ranch. It's May 20th, I believe. If you get on the Western Dressage of Arizona's website, it will have all the details, but I will be doing, entertainment, there for their lunchtime. And then I have the summer is more open until August, and then things start to get really busy for me. So
you're going to be August. Here. You're going to be at the Arizona
Cowboy Poets. That is the second weekend of August. Oh my gosh, they'll kill me that I don't have the days memorized. Yeah. But if you get on their website, you'll be able to get everything about, get all the information about it. And tickets go on sale in June for that event. And get the ball rolling now, because hotels and stuff are going to fill up. It's a pretty popular event in Prescott. It's in Prescott. And then after that, I'm going to the Durango Cowboy Poetry Gathering in the fall. And then I am going to Grand Junction for the Western Slope gathering. And then I'll be at IWMA in Albuquerque. And then I'm going to the Colorado Cowboy Poetry Gathering in January of 24. So like from August on, I'm going to be really shuffling around the Southwest, which works great for me because trying to do things in the spring, it don't go so well for a horse bet. So, because I'm doing a lot of mares and foals right now. Yeah. So it's hard to get away. So,
when we were chatting just earlier, not on the air, but did you mention that you had another book?
Yes.
In the works? Tell us about that.
So I have a couple books actually that I'm working on. I have another children's book that will, if the timeline is anything like Rhythm of the Ranch, it'll take me a while because it's called Tuna Cat, Tuna Cat, Only You Know Where You're At. It's about my barn kitty, Tuna Cat. That's another one that I'll be illustrating based on photography of Margaret Savini. I'm going to illustrate. She did some photographs for me. And then I have another book that is going to be a compilation of cowboy poetry written. So I don't have anything written. I have all my poetry on my album, but sometimes it's just nice to be able to read things. And so I'm going to put some of my favorites together into a book. That really shouldn't take too long to do. I'm hoping by this fall, because it's already written. I just need to get it in a form that's sellable. There will be some photographs or some imagery in the book. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. So it's still in here, but the poems came from here. And then I also have my second album, which I will have recorded, by the end of the year. I'll release it after January 1st.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Album. Cool. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, but it's everything's written for it. I just need some studio time to get it recorded and work on the album. So, yeah. So I have a lot of irons in the fire, which that's me.
when you recorded that CD, and I've recorded some and know my own experience.
Yes.
Was that easy for you or difficult for you to go into a studio and record as opposed to being in front of an audience?
Surprisingly easy. I was surprised at most of the recordings on that album were first takes. And there were a couple of them where I said, or I messed up. Or I got a word wrong, or it didn't have the right feel for me, when I recited the poem. But I just put on my headphones and closed my eyes and just imagined, what my poem is. And I just blocked out everybody else and did it. Cool. And it was a really neat experience. It was really nice to know that it was getting directed on to something, that my voice and my emotion was going to be somewhere and it wasn't just words on paper anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's a gift.
It felt good. Yeah. I liked it.
Well, I'm watching the clock and we've got enough time. We're going to end at 10 till.
Okay.
And, but I want to see if we can sneak in another poem.
Okay.
And then chat a little bit until we have to wrap up, and I'll let people know at the end what they can listen to, they can look forward to being on next week. So I love The Ranch Foreman.
Okay. The Ranch Foreman is, I love that. And he is in this book too. He is in there. He has his own page. Yeah. The Ranch Foreman, about our dog Diesel. Okay, The Ranch Foreman. You've been round the block a time or two. You've worked long days, and you've paid your dues. Up at dawn and down quite late. For me, you always proudly wait. A black little spot,
at the end of our long, dusty road. That turns into my dog as I slowly approach. Up you hop and then you run. Are we going for work? Are we going for fun? I am your ranch foreman. I am the one who alerts you to strangers and guards you at night, protects you from danger like coyotes and fright, who loves on the livestock, the big and the small, who makes sure that they're safe and watches over them all, who helps with the chores day in and day out, who knows what the routine of this ranch is about. I am the one who has watched you ride. I've trotted along to be by your side. The years have drained on and I'm starting to slow, but until I'm gone, I always will go to my spot at the end of our long, dusty road, waiting to help you to lighten your load.
Yeah.
The ranch foreman.
Yeah. Paints a picture. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
So is there anything that you think people should know or you want to answer a question that I haven't asked? Is there anything that you wanted to touch on or mention?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, you mentioned earlier that you read a mm-hmm. lot. You've always been a reader. What kind of things do you read? What are some of the authors or some of the types of book? What do you enjoy reading for pleasure?
Well, obviously poetry. I read just about anything, to be honest with you. If you put a book in front of me, I'm going to read it. So I as a veterinarian, I'm always reading, you know, scientific articles and stuff like that. That fuels my mind. But it's really nice to be able to be taken somewhere else. I really like to read things about I love the Old West. I love pioneer things about pioneers. I love history based stories. I love it when there's a lot of truth in a Western story, and you know, and there's just a little bit of a twist to it. I just, you know, anything like that. That's what I like.
Well, let me start signing off. We're about 3 minutes here, and I want to make sure that folks know that next week, Bobby Jean Bell and Jim Bell should be back. And as much as I've enjoyed being here, Phil in their chair, well, not their chair, their chair's not here where I'm at. You know what I mean? The host here, the guest hosting. They'll be back with the guest, Karen Jones. And they will chat about Karen Jones her coming of age story, The Summer of Grace. So that'll be next week's guest. And remind people real quick where people can find your website if they're interested in your CD. And they should be interested in your CD and your upcoming children's book and future books.
Website is cowgirlvetpoet.com. And my email, cowgirlvetpoet@outlook.com.
All right. Well, very good.
Thank you.
And I think in a minute, there's going to be some closing music. And I don't know if that's just going to start here. I don't know what the countdown is to the music. But I'll just thank you again, Miska, for being here. This has been it's always a pleasure to chat with you.
Oh, I'm honored that you asked me to be a part of the show.
Well, and I'm honored that Jim and Bobby
asked
me to fill in
for you. Do a good job. So why wouldn't they? Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Have fun. Right.
And I do want a copy of that children's book. I'll even buy it.
It's coming. Flora already has a copy. You know, it's coming for Flora. I'll sign it.
Fabulous.
Unless there's somebody else that you think that you have a younger. Oh, you have a younger, brand new one too.
Yeah, seven months.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So maybe what's that?
Well, they can. Her name?
Yeah. Scarlett. What's her name?
Scarlett.
Oh, well, maybe I send you two. Because well, they're from different families, right? They're not.
Brother and sister. Yeah. I mean, our daughter and son and their families.
Yeah. 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 So you need two. You need two. One for each.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. Awesome.
All righty. Well, Sam, if you're listening, I don't know if you just start playing some closing music or we just sort of disappear, but it's been a pleasure being on tonight because I was told to end at 6:50 and that's happening right now.
You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.